Hey, Jim, if you weren't named Jim, what would you want your name to be?
Well, Patrick, I haven't confessed this to anyone before, but I do often wish that my name was more related to music.
Oh, cool, man. Like Ace or Iggy or Lemmy or Bun?
No. Trombone Lenihan. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm intern Sam.
We interviewed this band, Kid Brother, and this is part two of that interview. And we're going to start off talking to them about the setting in which they came together as a band and produce music and, you know, ply their trade, right? And if you didn't hear part one of the interview with Kid Brother, go back and do that. It's pretty easy to do. Just wherever you're listening to this now, you just go to the feed, listen to yesterday.
That's right.
But today you're going to get part two, more talk with this band about what they're up to. And as we mentioned yesterday, we really think they're going places.
Yeah.
This is a band I think you're going to hear more from in the future. And you could say you heard them first on this podcast, right?
Rocking the Suburbs.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We did this interview from the Tiki Bar. Thank you to Greg Wilson for that. And they played in his backyard that night. And that was
sweet,
really fun.
Man.
We had a big crowd and people really seemed to enjoy it.
Right.
Yep. All right. Here's part two of the interview with Kid Brother.
Crawling out our graves, we breathe in mounds of earth and vegetation. Skin collects and blood starts pooling through our minds with hesitation.
What would you guys say is the biggest challenge in the age of Spotify and streaming about getting your music out there? Do you almost feel like it's back to the old school, like we got to get on the road and just play a ton of shows to find people? Or how do you guys as a band, you know, attack this challenge of, you know, it's not radio anymore.
Yeah.
It's not just selling records.
Yeah.
Like, how do you approach it?
I'm kind of excited about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that, like, bands have to adjust, or not bands, but just artists, everybody in the industry has to adjust. But the big change, I guess, is going from, you know, full concept albums to where, like, it's one cohesive unit of songs that play off of each other. I think that isn't dead, but that's not really what bands and artists have to do now. Everyone's just going singles. Yeah. And bands can still do it, but It kind of hurts to get away from that, because I would say, especially Baltimore Street Rat, I mean, we've got a lot of new songs that could work together as one album, but Baltimore Street Rat was definitely thought of as
cohesive.
Yeah. But I think that we're not really, like, we don't really think of Spotify and Apple Music and all that as a negative thing.
No, not at all.
It's just a new form to, like, get your music out there.
It's like a catch-22, I think, because it's like easier than ever to get your music out to the entire world, but then also the downside of that is it's an extremely saturated market.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can write something and immediately have it available to everyone, but also so can everyone else. So it's like, how do you stand out when there's that many artists also out there? So
that's a really good point.
Yeah, and I also feel like it's, like, I think it's a really cool thing,
because I think it's made it so that you have a wider market of bands that exist, mm-hmm. to where it's no longer like this band needs a radio single to be a big band.
Right.
It's
right.
like you have tons of bands who aren't necessarily on the radio right now who are touring 930 Anthem size venues.
Half the bands we see at Anthem is a sold out venue. And they've never had a song on the radio. Never will.
Yeah. Like
it
yeah.
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
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 You know,
yeah. I point to a band like Wilco all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wilco's
yeah.
never had a radio
Jeff
hit,
Tweedy's
right?
A genius. yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, look how big they are, right?
Right.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've been touring with like a band that's like f-ing phenomenal. The a band, our buddies, the Happy Fits. Shout out Happy Fits. Love you guys. They're a three piece.
Samsung boys.
What's up? Oh, they use Samsung?
No, they just got their album cover was just on a Samsung commercial.
No way.
What?
Yeah, they have like a new phone that like folds out. Like it folds.
The Happy Fits did?
Yeah. And when they opened it up in the commercial, it's like this like alien in a diner. He opens it up and it's their album cover.
No.
That's cool shit.
That's amazing. Yeah. They deserve it. They're like
breaking news here. Yeah. Yeah. This is great.
This just in.
They're seriously talented musicians and they're really kind, sweet people, and they just really love playing music and they've just been so encouraging to us. And so like a band like that you know, they have like millions of streams and they deserve all of those streams. And it's, you know, bands like them that work as hard as they do to have a platform where the music is good. So I really in my heart believe that if your music's good, you're going to get streams. People are going to want to listen to it. Like you just have to really bust your ass and like work constantly on your craft. And, you know, it takes years to become like a musician that you're like, not self-loathing about yourself. And even still, like we're self, like, you know, even when you're like, okay, we're getting some level of success, you're still like, I hate my music. It sucks so bad. But like, there's this huge platform now where people can go, well, fuck it. We'll see what happens. Let's just put it on there. And like, you can just be like, let's see what happens. And then if it's good, people are going to listen to it. People are going to like it. And if you're playing shows and working at it, like anything's really possible, you know, especially in today's industry with like, you know, the internet and things like that.
The internet
worldwide.
I've heard of it.
The thing I want to get to here, and I think this will help the listeners too, is so we live right now. We're recording this in Herndon.
Yep.
I live in Ashburn.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
You guys are all in Leesburg. Is that right? So for people who aren't familiar, which is most of the listeners, with the geography of the DC area, like Leesburg, that's pretty far away from Washington DC in Northern Virginia.
About we're talking an hour.
Yeah,
on a good day.
It's about 40 miles or something like that.
54 minutes.
There you go.
On a good day.
And it never changes, traffic or anything.
You must know the secret that I don't. But anyway, but the point being is you're definitely sort of like out in the suburban area, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily where what people think of as where a lot of bands mm-hmm. sort of originate.
Yeah, not
right?
at all.
You know, right? Yeah. But you have built a really big following mm-hmm. in that little pocket of the world, right? So how did that happen, I guess?
I think because there wasn't a lot else going on.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, there's been plenty of bands in the area, and there still are, but I think just being present in a smaller town like that, it's like there's just a lot of people that wanted it that didn't have it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They're just really good people. Yeah. We love Leesburg. We love the people. We love Loudoun County, and everyone's like that. Like, that is the reason we have any sort of success is because everyone is just really supportive and really cool and they believe in something and we kind of like, you know, we're doing it together. Like everybody that supports us is like we want to do it together and we're like we'll never forget about you, you know, like we'll never like forget about Leesburg and like we want to stay in Leesburg, we want to live in Leesburg and just, you know, travel the world and play music. Like that's our home and we love the people and we love the community and like it's kind of our responsibility to continue to build that community, encourage other musicians to play and like, you know, put on other bands on our bills that are like maybe just a new band but we're like, you're a great person, you got great music, let's play together and give them kind of like a spotlight and just build the community together.
Yeah, it's cool. At one point in my life, I lived in a city called Rockford, Illinois, which is like 70 miles from Chicago, and it's the home of Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody will remind you that just about every day that it's the home of Cheap Trick because it's like such a big thing that Cheap Trick is from there. You know
what
I mean?
It's like Clinger for Toledo.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So you're our Cheap Trick.
What's that?
You guys are our Cheap Trick.
Hopefully, that would be awesome. You know, like you know, anything's possible. And we're just going to keep playing rock and roll, and we just are just going to keep playing music. And you know, I hope that we can be that big. That would be great. But either way, we're just happy to be able to play music and to have at least one person be interested in it, and that's like the biggest compliment.
So how different are the shows for you, because you guys play like a Tally Ho and stuff like that in Leesburg, which is a, you know, pretty sizable venue. Heck, and you get good crowd, and I saw you guys play once at Vanish and you know, there was a pretty good crowd there, and they seemed to know all of your songs and were singing along and everything. It's like I noticed you kind of embraced it, because you we'll put up on this video screen behind you, welcome to the official cult of Kid Brother. So you've recognized that you've built a something, you know, locally at least, right?
I think that came from I
Christian joke. Really wants to be a cult leader.
I really want to be a cult leader, but I'd be like a really nice one. I'd
be
like,
great at it.
How are you today? Not like, do this.
They all seem nice at first. I'd be like an ongoing joke, but also like kind of like half serious.
Well, it's
not the actual cult part, but like just calling it that.
No, but I get it. Like, yeah, I totally get it, having seen you guys play.
And I think it gives identity to the people that we care about, the people that make everything possible, which is people that come to the shows and support us and tell their friends. And like cult is like a goofy word, and it's fun, and like, you know, it's like a thing, but like giving an identity to the people that you care about and being like, we're in this together,
right?
Like, we are all one unit.
Sense of community.
That's the first step of a cult leader.
Yes, it is, my friend. Yes, it is. We don't like to use the word cult.
Community.
That's right.
Are you ever surprised by which songs catch on with the audience?
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Graves,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's such a slow, droney song. It's a great song.
That's probably everybody's favorite song.
It's insane,
Is it really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we hear it the most. I think either that it's the people that are most vocal about it like that one the most.
But it's such a slow start. Mm-hmm. Takes so long to build up. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs as well, but I'm surprised that it's like that many people's favorite song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not like a quick, catchy, like...
Yeah, no, and what we understand about the industry is like popular songs don't follow that. That's going to be like a B-side song, you'd think, I guess, like theoretically, but that's the one that people like really latch onto. And
yeah, what like, is it, like 7 minutes long?
Yeah.
So
also, I think I'm always surprised at how many people like, well, not like, but love God on Television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get a lot of
requests.
I always
forget that song exists.
Yeah, we hardly ever play it.
I'm like, oh shit, I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorites on the album. Pray for the children.
believe you said, let's build us a religion. Cause the cash comes cheap, I said, for goodness sake, I can't relate to this. And I get so pissed when you say to pray for the people.
Practiced it the other day and I was like, this is a good song. I totally forgot.
But I do think it's something about live energy too when we play those songs, because again, like if they were strictly like, if we never played live and it was just an album, then I was just like, yeah, I think like our more upbeat catchy tunes would be the primo of the record. But I think when we play Graves live, that one is, there's like a slight rupture in like our set that just like is a black hole of that everybody does.
That's normally when all the guitar straps break, all the strings break.
Yeah,
people get hurt.
Yeah, because it is so relaxed for most of the song, and then once it kind of like kicks off, it's like
popping a balloon.
Yeah, it's like as much as like everybody else is waiting for it to build up, like we're waiting twice as hard to be like, ah, oh, just let us out. Yeah.
What about covers? Do you guys play any covers?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are those? Did you guys think you take farthest away from the original and re-express in your own kind of Kid Brother
Kid
style?
Cudi.
Yeah. Kid Cudi. We cover a Kid Cudi song.
Oh, really?
Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah.
Okay.
And we like really like changed that one a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fun though. I love playing that song.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to sing though.
Yeah.
That high note.
We actually have a cover show coming up.
Oh, really?
Every year, Jam and Java does the the Halloween, Rocky Horror cover
Rocky
show.
Horror. Rocky
cover
Horror. Show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So last year we were Portugal the Man, and
cool.
This year we're David Bowie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
Oh, that's really cool. And how many songs do you have to play for that?
Five.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Are there other bands that you guys play with that are kind of from the regional area that you guys feel like are sympathetic or kind of on your same wavelength?
If we all said it at the same time, we would say the same band.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
The Dust Whales.
They're awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Where are they from?
What was the band?
The Dusk Whales.
Dusk Whales.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again.
I just want to make sure the listeners could understand.
Yeah.
The Dusk Whales.
Awesome. Yeah. The Dusk Whales.
Nope.
Yeah.
Can I also get questions about that bumper sticker on my car all the time? I'll be like walking through a parking lot in the grocery store, like, what is a dusk whale? Like, for some reason, of all the stickers on my car, that one always just grabs. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, strap up, let me tell you.
They're seriously phenomenal musicians. Like, I mean, they're a three-piece, and they've got such, like, a full, intricate, complex sound while being, like, super palatable. Like,
very much their own as well.
Yeah,
it's a very distinct thing. Song.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to them,
have not. No,
all right,
it's the first I've heard. Yeah, this is exciting.
Super awesome. Yeah.
And great people.
Yeah, they're technically based. They're from Manassas, but I know some of them live around here.
Okay.
Now I know one of them lives in Herndon. I think the other two of them live in Sterling now.
Oh, right.
And so yeah,
very cool. Very cool.
So where do you guys go from here? How do you get the same cult of Leesburg elsewhere?
Spiral play. Out.
Yeah.
Tour. I guess just keep
use
playing.
The internet. Make the right business decisions.
Repeat visits. I think the plan now, we've got a good following around here. We want to start hitting Philly more. We go to Baltimore every once in a while. We go to Richmond a good bit. But kind of timing out those trips to where you're creating that, they want to see you, but get in front of new people. So
right.
I think we're going to start branching out the Mid-Atlantic region a little bit more coming up soon.
And you just work with like the business end, like you you eventually hit a point in a business that you hire outside people to, like, their job would be to essentially like market your music in like that, I guess, in the simplest way. And you know, from the money that you make, you know, like every band has like, or most bands, we have like a LLC. And so we have like a bank account and everything. We just stack our money and we like really don't pay ourselves. We just put it back in the band. I think that's the smartest business decision that we've made, is so we can afford things like our van, like and like maintenance on that. And so we then take that money and we put it into other things like on the business sense. And Sam's like our business guy. He is like the awesome,
he's super responsible dad.
Sam's
he's
our dad.
He's a great administrator, like the best administrator I've ever worked with, not only in music,
he's
but in
life.
He's
got the music industry background, right?
He knows. In his DNA.
We all have our roles.
Yeah. That's right.
So we discussed this already.
Yeah. Moving forward, that's the plan. And I think we already have a lot of things in motion. And I would say that almost all of those things are on the business end. So like, we can't really say too much now.
No, I hear you.
But we have a lot of things
big
in motion.
Big things are happening.
Absolutely.
All right, that's good. That's what we want the listeners to understand.
Yeah. Right.
Big things are happening. And when can people expect to hear new recorded music from Kid
January.
Brothers? January. All right, great.
January, we will have new music.
And can you guys ever envision a time where you will change into stage gear?
that's a good question. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Piano's always.
Piano's going to be dressing us up all fancy.
Yeah, we all have jumpsuits in the van.
Scarves. And
we like put on a little bit. I think like I'll be like, I'm going to wear a clean shirt today. Yeah, exactly. Get the hats.
That's right. When you move into clean shirts, that's a whole different level of success.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's right.
We got that laundry money.
All right. All right. I have one last question. Who is Meredith?
That's my older sister. Yeah, that's a good question.
All right.
Yeah, my older sister, Meredith. Shout out to my sister. I love you.
That's my favorite song on the record.
That's my favorite song, too.
Really?
Oh, yes. Thank you. So was she an inspiration for that? Or how?
Yeah, she was. She was like, I had a very bizarre childhood, and it was just me, my mother, and my sister. And my sister's 5 years older than I am. And my mom, because it was just the three of us, we were pretty poor, like really poor. And so she had to work all the time, like pretty much every day.
Yeah, you lived in a cabin, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Cabin, it was a cabin that my grandfather had built as just like a kind of like a hunting cabin in like the 40s, and we were really broke. And
this is in Maryland?
Yeah, mm-hmm, just north of Baltimore. And my mom needed a place to live, and so she built the rest of the house with like old pieces of barn, like rocks that she found, and like it was like a shanty. Wow. It was beautiful, don't get me wrong, my grandfather was a contractor, but it was a patchwork house, and like there was like spiders in it all the time, snakes, like we didn't have heat in the winters, and like it was, you know. So my sister really took a huge part in raising me, and like so it was kind of like having two mothers, and so it was an awesome childhood, don't get me wrong, like I had an amazing childhood. And so she was just she's always been so encouraging, so is my mother, and they've always been like, no matter what you do, just be happy and do exactly what you want to do and you will enjoy your life. And so, you know, that song's kind of just
nice.
And she also pretty much named the band, because
literally you were the Kid Brother.
She called me Kid Brother, and it was kind of just like a filler name. And then I was just like, I just really liked it, and it was honest and it has meaning. And, you know, like I figured in my craft, in my profession, what's the nicest thank you I can give to somebody that, you know, basically raised me, is to be like, this one's for you, sis, you know? So,
yeah, that's very cool. Very cool.
What a great way to end this. Really. I think we all hope now that becomes a huge hit song, right?
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Because he's gone too far. Guess it's time for bed. because I'm seeing stars. If his brain was broke, well then he'd have no heart. He's gonna see us soon. He knows where we are. Do you really wanna see?
Okay, that was really cool.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you so much to those guys for coming out, Jim, and doing the interview and playing the set and also being so nice. I mean, they were really great, Christian and Piano, yep. and Sam and all the guys.
And Richard and Dylan.
That's right, those Richard are the other and Dylan. Two. Yeah.
They were super great. And again, I encourage everyone, go check out their album, Baltimore Street Rat.
Yeah, super cool.
You can find it on... I think any of the streaming services, you can check that out. And I actually went on Amazon and ordered the CD.
Nice.
You can do that.
Well done, sir.
They do have physical CDs available. So
I got to get on that.
I think that's the primary place to buy them is on Amazon.
Yeah, they should have brought some to the show, but it would have been cool. I would have bought one.
Next show.
Yep.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foss.
And I'm intern Sam.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
I was pretty upset that Piano enjoys biting ice cream.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
You're a monster.
Yeah. Look, it is the only way to eat it.
Next subject, please.